change is something that comes about relatively slowly. But I would say on the side of dancers, there are a lot of organizations that are becoming stronger, and we're also creating a wider network here in Germany. So that I think is something that's positive that's been happening. But as far as like actual like cultural change, I think that these things are slow. So of course, people are getting to know more about concepts like sexual harassment or discrimination. But as far as like legitimate changes, I haven't really noticed so many of those. But I feel like, of course, the people are kind of slowly changing the minds. The structure for and protection for dancers is like a growing community, a growing network. So, I mean, it's slow. Of course, everything is not magically better overnight, but it's going in a good way.
If you host those workshops, can you sum up the feedback and participation you get from the side of dancers or choreographers or employees?
So we do workshops not only at dance festivals, we also did one at the Dramatological Association conference this year. So it really depends on, of course, who is inviting us. But usually it's a mixture of dancers, choreographers, and programmers, depending on which festival or which institution has invited us. So usually what happens in a workshop is that if there is someone like a choreographer or a programmer there, they have a tendency to speak much more than the other people. So for us as workshop givers, it's always really important that dancers who come are also given a space and they feel welcome to express their opinions. As to like what people kind of think about the workshops or what happens after them, is usually what we try to do is more or less have people define for themselves what is abuse, what is discrimination, have I seen it, have I experienced it, if it happens, what do I do, if it happens to me, what do I do, if it happens to someone else, what can I do to help them. So I mean, usually, of course, hopefully people walk away with a little bit more of an understanding of abuse in dance. And usually people, I think, are kind of open to the idea of positive changes happening both on the institution side, but also in like the ideas and the culture of dance as a industry.
Have you experienced it, or is the feedback from certain people, for example, dancers, do they see more importance of your work than maybe programmers or choreographers?
This is something, of course, really interesting. There are, of course, dancers that have been directly affected by things like sexual harassment or discrimination or like abuse of power. But very often what happens is that if you have a lot of dancers in a room, some people have not personally experienced that. And there is an idea that maybe it just somehow doesn't exist, or it doesn't exist in the sphere that they are working. And this is something, of course, that's very difficult to approach, because if someone doesn't see something and it doesn't quote unquote impact them, then it's of course very tricky to say like, no, but it happens to other people. And you have to care also for like the entire scene and not just what happens with yourself. So of course there is some resistance whenever there are dancers in a workshop altogether to the ideas of things of abuse or discrimination. But a lot of other people really have experienced these types of working environments. And it is something that, you know, like if you go through this whole process where people are self-defining and self-identifying what is abuse, what is discrimination, sometimes it happens that they are like, oh, wow, in my past, I've actually been discriminated against, or I've actually been abused in some way, but I didn't even recognize it at that time. So, I mean, the effectiveness of a workshop isn't always apparent in that moment. I think sometimes people walk away from that situation and like they think about it further, or we hope that they do. But yeah, no, it's mixed. I feel like there are a lot of people in dance, and some people have experienced things and some people haven't. It's very much like society. There are people who don't think that, I don't know, discrimination exists because maybe they don't feel it, but that doesn't mean that it's not real.
Do you have a rule for saying the workshops are only open to women? And do men attend your workshops as well? And do you welcome them? Or like, how does it maybe cross over with the safe space you want to give? Or what is your approach?
Yeah, so our workshops are actually open to people of all genders. We think that it's really important also to recognize that there is not just like a gender binary of like male and female. Of course, there are also people that are like non-gender conforming, and they are also welcome to the workshops. So everyone is invited. In terms of the actual like makeup, of course, I think that there are very many women in dance. But of course, in terms of positions of power, mostly they're fulfilled by men, which I think is why there are a lot of these problems within the dance industry. But in terms of course, like how it all kind of functions, yeah, no, everyone is welcome. And I think gender is something that's really important to discuss, especially in dance, and especially the historical connotation of gender in dance.
How would you describe the state of their institutions itself, considering your criticism on institutions and the whole dance scene?
So Virva, the director of the Tansum August, I've met her before. She came to one of our very early open forums, and she was like very vocal, of course, about the role of the institution and this discussion of Me Too in dance. So in regards, of course, to Tansum August, I think that they have a lot of really good ideas and they're going in a very nice direction. But every institution in the dance industry, of course, can have improvements. I mean, something as easy as like knowing where on the website to find a policy about, you know, like what happens to someone if they are sexually harassed, or what happens if someone does face discrimination. Are there clear policies for this? Is it an open understanding that's common amongst everyone, especially because for something like a festival, these are a lot of traveling performers. And so they maybe are coming from other countries, they might speak multiple languages. It's just, you know, like things like this, like do people have the possibility to easily access information about, you know, procedures or how they can be protected in these types of environments. And of course, for like how as an institution, I would want that on their website as well.
So what are the main differences you have experienced from your work, maybe in Germany and in other countries in Europe or even the United States?
From things that we've heard from the US and from Germany, I mean, dancers, especially if they're in the free scene, are in an incredibly vulnerable position economically, more or less. And economic fear, I think, is one of the major things that drives the suppression of people coming to, you know, say like, oh, I've been sexually harassed, or people are discriminatory here, is because if people are afraid that they won't have work, they won't come forward about abuse. And so I think in both Germany and in the US, even though Germany has a lot more social protections, you know, there is this feeling of precarity. And so this like economic fear, I would say, is very similar in both countries' free scenes. In terms of the companies, you know, like of course here in Germany, there are again, like a lot more social regulations like health insurance that are able to kind of like protect the dancers. But in the US, I would say it's an even more precarious situation for freelance dancers.
You mentioned the KSK. Can you explain something about them?
I mean, it's not a union. It's just like an insurance for them to have. But of course, things like a union would be probably very helpful, especially for the free scene. I think that that's something. There is actually a union here in Germany. I believe it's the GDBA. I mean, I think that these are more for people that are working in companies, like dance companies. But free scene people can also use their legal services and can ask them for like a consultation, of course. In the US, I think they just went through like this whole legal process to see if it would be possible for dancers in the free scene to be able to unionize. And I think that the answer is yes, they can. So I think it's really interesting, of course, like social insurances, unions, all of these are things that basically allow the dancers in the community to have a little bit of a united protection. Because, of course, it's very difficult maybe to try to negotiate a contract on your own. It's a little bit easier if there are like common standards and you have the power of like, for example, a union behind you. We are definitely pro-union.
Would you consider unions as the first step into maybe... a positive thing that would evolve in the dancing scene?
I mean, I think it's definitely one of the factors that would encourage like a positive future. Absolutely. I mean, the thing is that sexual harassment and abuse, like these are things that are so complicated and so complex, and they're really in every aspect of the dance industry, like from a contract to, you know, the negotiation that you have for the contract, to being in the studio, in rehearsal spaces, to be on stage during a performance, you know, all of these things are actually connected. And so you have to have things like unions, you have to have changes in the policy of the institutions themselves, you have to like retrain teachers to be able to, I don't know, ask for consent before they touch someone, for example. There are so many things that add up to like an actual positive change. But yeah, I think that things like unions would be really helpful, even just legal services for dancers or someone who can help them consult over a contract. Like, is this a good working condition, or are they asking for too little, or are they giving too little money? Are they asking for too many working hours? You know, there have to be resources for dancers to have to consult about these types of things, because right now people just kind of do a lot of that on their own. And there's like a sense of isolation or a sense of like, oh, you know, like, I don't know like how to do this, or I don't know how to negotiate for myself. So I guess I'll just take what they're given or what they're giving me. And, you know, like it would be really helpful, yeah, if there were institutions that would basically facilitate like a better practice for the dancers.
Isn't it harassment and insultment rooted in like maybe one or two steps before, if I think of schools that focus on ballet?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're absolutely right. There is something definitely about the training process of a dancer. I mean, most people, as you said, they start when they're very young. And the training for something like ballet is very much rooted in things like obedience and discipline. And obedience and discipline are really, really easy things to basically exploit. And so, yeah, I think a lot of the training, like, for example, like how a ballet instructor teaches young children will definitely kind of have an influence on what those same children will think of as normal or as like a legitimate way of their best performance. So yeah, of course, if people are being kind of grown or raised in this environment where their standards and like their understanding of their body, their understanding of how far they're willing to go and their own boundaries are not ones that they have for themselves, but ones that they give to an authority outside of themselves, for example, a dance instructor, then yeah, like if you're giving this authority to someone else and that other person tells you how far your body should go, there is possibility, of course, that it's helpful, but there's also possibility that it's going to exploit them or be a place where abuse can take place. And so this is something that, you know, this is how instructors teach how the pedagogy of dance gets handed down. And so, yeah, I feel like dance teachers or dance instructors, all the way up to choreographers and art directors, I think that they need to be more or less retrained to say like, no, dancers have their own agency. They have their own boundaries. And it's for them to tell us when it's too much.
It's not just dancing where insulting and harassment takes place, but you kind of said it already, that dancing has structures that are able to provide a comfortable environment to abuse that.
Yeah, which is why things like ongoing consent, like asking someone before you touch them if you have the permission to touch them, is like something that we think is really great. And again, something like ongoing consent, this is not just saying yes one time to like an instructor at the beginning of a class, but that every time the situation is new, that you have the chance to say like, no, I don't want to be touched or something like this. And so it's just like, yeah, like there are a lot of physical contact moments within dance. That's kind of, you know, part of the situation. But there are ways to more or less still be able to have personal boundaries and limitations that are respected. I mean, dance, especially with its physical contact, I mean, this is one of the greatest places to even learn, you know, like how do we interact with each other as human people while still being as respectful as possible? Because it's not that we don't want anyone to touch and dance. It's just that, you know, people need to be respected. And that could just be really easily something done by just asking first and really waiting for the person to say yes or no. You know, very simple solutions can exist if we just do them.